There are two things on the refund policy, so it can be under the one. It was the online and the no refund for withdrawal by the school.
And then also stipulated that on the refund policy that we have Jen.
If the institution chooses to withdraw a student, that there's a consideration for refund depending on the timing.
So withdrawal students are also eligible for refunds.
Okay. So withdrawn and if we are dismissing them. Got it. Okay.
They're just going to look at the wording because it's just not that clear. So,
which one was that?
How the makeup out, just make sure it's easy enough to understand exactly what you need to do.
That completes my motion.
All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do you accept the stipulations?
We do.
We do.
All right, we have a motion, second, and acceptance of the stipulations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So she'll hold your license until you give her the revised information. And make sure you update both the EA and the catalog. If you want to send her the draft of what the refund policy will look like first before you do a formatting, feel free to do that.
Sure.
Good
luck. Thank you.
So we want to try to get another one of you folks. So do you want to get a couple more in before we create a motion?
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Next one is Colette Academy.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. At your June 2016 meeting, the board approved the additional vocational program license for Colette Academy with a stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond. They are now seeking to go from a conditional to regular license renewal. Representing the applicant is Tracy Collette, and she's not feeling well, so she's on my phone. And the board member lead is Ms. Litter.
All right, and whoever's on the phone from Collette Academy, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tracy Collette.
Hello, I'm sorry, not feeling well.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Okay, great. In the catalog, it's just a minor typo. It just says, while enrolled in school, and that's the entire sentence. And I didn't know what might be meant by that, so you might want to look at it and see what you were trying to say there.
Hold on, I don't know. Okay, what page was that on?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
it's just random.
Oh, I found it. It's actually in your on your EA on page 4 of 5, number 3 under student acknowledgement.
Page 4 of 5. Okay, I'll check that out.
And I think that you're probably saying that everything that falls after it, but the way you did it as a separate statement, you're just asking them to sign off while in school.
Okay, hold on. Let's see here. Okay, 4 or 5.
Yeah, it's on page 4 of 5 of the enrollment agreement. The section says student acknowledgments, and there are 4 acknowledgments.
Number 3.
Third acknowledgment.
Right in the middle.
You're not talking about the catalog.
No, the enrollment agreement.
Which?
Well, enrollment school.
Okay, I have 3 enrollment agreements. So which one is it?
That's a comment. We'll put a period.
It should be a comma.
It should be a comma. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so are you on the page 4 or 5?
Well, I have 3 student enrollment agreements, so I'm not sure which
it's
one you're
probably,
talking
it's probably on all of them.
Yeah,
so just pull one of them.
Okay.
And look at under student acknowledgments, the third. Says 3, which technically should be 3 period, but on the end of the second line, it just says while in school, period, and then it says I understand I must maintain satisfactory progress, etc. But I don't think
it should just say while enrolled in the school. Okay, I'll check because this is correct the one I'm looking at.
Okay.
So it must be one of the other agreements. I'll check that out.
In the catalog, I was a little confused on your program hours on page 2.
Okay.
It says they, it sounded like they get 10 transfer hours if they have a prior state license. Is that an automatic thing?
Yes. Yes. If their prior license is in cosmetology or esthetician work, that counts as 10 hours towards 100 hours. They would get a 90-hour certificate. They don't need to take the 100-hour course.
Okay, so usually a school would have a 100-hour course, and then if they give them transfer credits, they're recognizing, you know, other training. So they would still get a certificate for a 100-hour course. It's just that 10 of them were transferred in. You set it up as literally one of them is a 100-hour course and one is a 90?
Yes, I did.
No?
Because 90 is a minimum requirement.
Okay, so we'll need to ask you to excuse a second. So we're not going to, we wouldn't license that as two separate programs. You would have a 100-hour program, and then you could accept 10 hours of transfer if they have a license, and that would be fine. But it wouldn't be an entirely separate program.
Okay, so that you're counting this as two programs, the 90 and the 100.
Well, that's how you have it worded. You expressly say a 90-hour.
And you're saying that I should offer only one 100-hour program, and they could graduate with 90, and 10 of it would count because of their prior license, correct?
Right. What it is that of the 100-hour program, you're giving them 10 transfer hours. So it's still a 100-hour program. They just took 10 hours somewhere else, and that's fine. So you're still giving them. Like if you have getting a bachelor's degree and you transfer in 60 credits from somewhere else, you're still getting a bachelor's degree.
You just have to reward it.
I see what you're saying.
And it's the same. You have that in a couple of places in both your, in two of your programs.
Yeah, all three. Okay. We'll do all 100-hour programs.
Okay.
With 10 hours of credit. Okay, that's great.
Also in the catalog.
Go ahead.
In the catalog on page 5 at the top. I just didn't understand what you were saying. There's a little asterisk. It says all class days are from 8 to 5. Additional hours of homework may be required for each course. And then it says all other courses offered must be preceded by 90 to 100 hours of fundamental training.
Right. So what we have courses we call add-on courses. And if you were previously certified in permanent cosmetics with a minimum of 90 hours of training, you can take one of those add-on courses. But if you were not, you cannot move on to one of the add-on courses. It's sort of like an advanced course for people that are already in the industry.
Okay, then I believe that would just be considered a prerequisite. So you would just say for the following add-ons or fine programs, whatever your wording is, a prerequisite of that other certificate is required. And again, don't do the 90 to 100 hours. You would just state that those other courses are considered a prerequisite for the others.
You're saying this is at the top of page 5?
Page 5 of the catalog that I was given, page 5 of 8.
Yeah.
There's an asterisk that says all class days are from 8 to 5 p.m. Additional hours of homework may be required for each course. And then that same line, it says all other courses offered must be preceded by 90 to 100 hours of fundamental training. It's two sentences.
Got it.
At the top.
And what would you like it to say?
In my opinion, you're saying that those courses, the other courses that you teach are prerequisite for these additional courses that you're offering. So you would just state that, and honestly, not in the same sentence as you're talking about class days. I mean, that's a completely separate important point you're making, that there's other programs.
Because the 90 hours, 5 days, and the 100 hour is 6 days. So if I'm offering 10 hours of credit toward the 100 hours, they can still take 5 days. correct?
Yes, but you're mixing thoughts here that makes it very hard for a consumer to know what you're talking about. So if classes are 8 to 5, that is a complete statement. Additional homework hours are required, that's a complete statement. And then completely separate from that, there are courses you can only take if you've taken these other and completed these other training programs. If it's continuing ed, whatever, it's just literally I can't understand what you're talking about and why you've put those things together. So the equipment technology requirements, the clinical training, the graduate employment, are those the add-ons you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about a machine course going from learning basic, permanent cosmetics in a microblading method to learning another method.
Well, your catalog is very confusing.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just three separate sentences or separate.
Yeah, and this isn't just like editing that I'm picking on you for typos. It's that literally I can't follow the thought and understand what you're trying to tell us to do. So if I were going to your school, I would not know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'll have to read it and see if I can figure out a way to reword it. I'll submit something. Is that okay if I submit something to you?
Yes, that would be great.
Look it over?
Okay. Yes, submit it to the sample.
I'll submit something to you and see if it's clearer to you.
Okay. On page 6 of the catalog, about 2/3 of the way down the page, it has this just random statement. It just says, by Tracy Collette, May 1st, 2016. So are you just like really proud of your refund policy? You want credit for that paragraph?
No.
Okay. So go ahead and delete that.
No. I believe I saw that in a some sort of format that I was supposed to put that in there. So it was written by and the date that it was written.
Not in your catalog. Maybe internally it would behoove you that whenever you're making changes to keep like a running track of this is what the policy was from this date to this date, and then if you revise it, you would then have another one that says effective this date, this is a policy by whom. That would be great, but not in the middle of your catalog.
Yeah, I don't know why that's there. Okay.
And then also on page 6, under student services provided, it says, we will assist you in finding discounted accommodations during your stay.
Yes.
You might want to say affordable or reasonable, because discounted expressly means it has to be something that they can't get on their own. And being on the complaint committee, I can tell you, if you don't absolutely positively give them discounted, they're going to complain about you, and we're going to have to talk about it.
No, I actually have a partnership with the Dave Man, and they do discount for us.
Okay. All right, because whatever you say, you have to do.
Yes.
Okay. On page 7. Mm-hmm. So you're requiring students to enroll 30 days or more before the start of the class. And only in an emergency would you let someone start earlier than that. So would the emergency be you need the cash, the student wants to start? I mean, I just think it's interesting that you would require an emergency to let somebody sign up like 2 weeks before school starts.
Where are you reading this?
It is on page 7, under policies and regulations. It says admission requirements for program registration. Signed program registration papers and full payment must be submitted 1 month prior to the start of classes. Exceptions may be granted only under emergency circumstances. So that, by literally wording that way, it means you would not let anybody sign up for a class if there's less than 30 days. If you mean that they for the payment or something, you can specify that. But literally, you're saying that no one can legally enroll with a shorter time frame.
Because part of the course requires a book to be completed with a workbook prior to even arriving to the class. And they need time to do that.
So how would an emergency make that okay? It's just weird. You've used the word emergency. Emergency really means something. And so it could be under special permission or something, but literally saying, I don't know what emergency there would be that would say that you let me sign up 2 weeks. Is the emergency that I can read fast and I can get that book done?
I wish I could see what you're talking about. I can't see.
It's page 7 of 8 of your catalog.
Talk. In the top?
Yeah, in the big paragraph.
Right up at the top, the first line, in case you're looking at a different version than I have, on page 7 of 8 of your catalog, the first sentence starts with www.coletteacademy.com. Right underneath that, it says policies and regulations. And that first paragraph of policies and regulations.
Yes.
Okay.
I see it.
So it behooves you to remove emergency, because I just literally cannot imagine what emergency would qualify you to make this exception.
Okay.
Okay. Also in the same paragraph. For some reason I said equivalent high school allowed, but I don't know why, because it does say that. Okay, never mind. In your catalog, in a couple of places, you mentioned that certified mail is required, and that's fine if you want to do that. I just want to make sure that if you're saying certified mail is required, that means you will not and cannot accept a hand delivery. It must be certified if that's what you're what you're saying. I just want to make sure you really want to do it that way. It's up to you.
Can I just? Is it okay if I just put in there by email?
Yeah, however you want. It's just that it's change of status. Like, literally, the way you have this worded, you want to kick somebody out.
Got it.
And you can't kick them out until you send them a certified letter. I wouldn't do it that way myself.
Yeah.
Okay. They might be dangerous. Okay, you never know.
So, Okay. I'll just say in writing.
You know what? I'm still just a little worried. I mean, what if you have somebody on campus who is like really causing a major problem? You literally can't even, you can't change the status and kick them out until you give them something in writing. I mean, just think about your wording to give yourself a little out there, that if you need to terminate somebody, you have the ability to. Okay. And unfortunately, I did not put a page number here. Let me see if I can find it. Somewhere I saw that students who would restart are always treated as new. So there isn't any circumstance where you would let them rejoin the next class at the point where they left off?
Yeah, there is. I would, actually, depending on where they left off.
Okay, then you might want to just look how you have that. I found it. So it's also on page 7. It's the the fourth bullet down under policy regulations, student enrollments. It says student enrollment. Okay. Students may re-enroll for a course of study with the understanding that they will be signing up for a course as a new student, and all rules and regulations apply. Re-enrollment is at the discretion of the Flood Academy. So that's clearly saying everybody has to be as a new, and that means if you made an exception, another student who was required to come as a new student could file a complaint against you. So it might be that it would be generally enrolled as new, but that, you know, director can make an exception or something. Under appropriate attire, this one just, maybe it was late when I was reading this, but it gave me a little bit of a giggle. It sounds like it says students must wear their own black scrub uniforms and closed-toed shoes, or school uniforms will be provided. So if they just come in dressed inappropriately, are you going to clothe them?
Actually, I do have smock that they will be wearing.
Okay. Then if there is a school uniform that's a smock that you're providing, are you charging, not charging? Just make it clear.
No, it's being loaned to them.
Okay. If they come in flip-flops, are you going to give them shoes?
No, I am not.
Okay.
No, so I guess I need to be clear on that.
Yeah. Because it's an or statement, so you're saying wear your own black scrubs and closed toe shoes, or we will give you what you need.
Okay. Got it.
And only one more. The grievance.
Yeah.
In the catalog, on page 8 of the catalog, your statement says the student grievance procedure is published only in the catalog on page 7. So that's a little contradiction right there. So on page 8, you're saying it's published on page 7.
Okay.
So if you're saying this is the only publication of it, that's fine. I don't really know why you have that sentence, but it also means that you may not have it anywhere else. You can't have it on your website. You can't have it on EA. You can't have it anywhere else because you're only publishing it on the page you're not actually publishing it on. So
okay.
Go ahead and fix that.
I'll make sure I put it wherever it's published, and I believe it's on our website, too.
Yeah, it should be, but...
Yeah.
Okay, you just got a little creative there. Okay, that was everything I had. Anyone else?
No. On every enrollment agreement, there is, you have a statement on number 4, and it actually says credit hours of program. And then it says 90 to 100. These aren't credits, so you probably want to change that to just total hours of the program since it's not worth credit. And then I also thought on,
total.
On the class total schedule hours. To the discussion about the time, I mean, is that one day? Is that, you know, 8 to 5 one day? I mean, how it just says 8 to 5. I'm not sure. Is that... So someone
yeah, it's daily. It's every day. It's daily. I just put daily.
For the duration. I just said they're very clear on that. I had a couple others.
Okay.
I was curious, they have a workbook
yes.
that they have to complete within of homework within 45 days of the start of class. So does that mean they send in their workbook and you grade the workbook and then they finish?
No. No,
they
no
just,
there is a textbook and a workbook that needs to be, we really like it to be completed prior to the class. A lot of people have kids and stuff, and I just make sure that it is completed within 45 days of the start date of class. I probably should clarify that and say that it should be completed before the class begins and keep it the same.
But that has nothing to do with them passing or failing?
No, it has to be completed for them. It's part of the curriculum for them to pass the course.
Okay. So it is kind of graded then.
So I'll...
So also back on page 7 under policies and regulations, you said it is recommended that each student have hepatitis B vaccine. I'm just curious, you, in this particular program, I'm assuming you're dealing with needles, if I understand that correctly?
Yes.
So
yes.
That's not a requirement then? Are you checking that, or are you just telling them they should?
No, I cannot require that, because that's their medical, their own personal medical health, and legally I'm not allowed to make them do that. That's a personal choice. I request that they do that to keep themselves safe, but... There are people that actually are allergic to certain things that maybe they cannot get that shot. That does not mean they cannot do permanent cosmetics, but I can't require that.
That's interesting because I know that's usually a requirement for nursing programs. The same.
I know. And you know, this needs some regulation. I wish it had it, but it doesn't.
Piggybacking on the cancellations, so one part it says cancellation must be made in person or by certified mail, and I actually got a chuckle out of that as well because it didn't allow for, you know, email or whatever else.
I thought I could make you laugh.
Kind of, you know, interesting.
All right. So in writing. I'm going to put in writing on everything.
The other thing I thought was interesting was you have in here additional coaching tutoring sessions are available for an additional fee of $8,000. For an 8-hour day, or 125 an hour, and I thought,
What page is that?
Yeah, it's on page 7, and am I missing that, right? I have my glasses on.
It says for an additional fee of $1,000
for
the day,
an 8-hour day,
or $125.
Right, I thought that was for tutoring. I didn't know how many takers you would get on that.
Well, here's the thing. We offer free... Anybody that graduates, they're allowed to come back to our class for free and sit in on a class. But if they wish to work on clients and they want one-on-one tutoring to help them get better at their craft, then it's a charge because it takes a teacher to actually sit down with them hourly and work with them one-on-one.
Okay. Okay, so then I also read that students, in the back, you will get unlimited educational phone support for the following graduation for up to 1 year. So that's, they're different than I take it. So they could call in and get it for free, but if they come to you.
They can call, they can email, they can come sit in a class that they've graduated from for a refresher, all of the above.
And then the last thing I had was on the grievance procedure. You have a statement that if they have a grievance within 3 days of an event.
Yes.
The first one says within 3 days, and their response is three business. I think they said their response is three business days, right?
Yep.
But I just don't know always if someone's gonna always file a grievance within 3 days. It's pretty short too.
Where are you looking again?
It's on page 8 of your catalog under grievous procedure, number 3.
Okay.
The second line starts with contact the school director within 3 days. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you're giving yourself 3 business days to respond, but you're giving them 3 days to complain. So at minimum, it should say 3 business days, but either way, that's a little bit short.
Okay, so like a week, Saturday?
Well, we can't regulate it. We just ask you to think about, at minimum, do the business days to be fair, and then think about whether 3 is kind of short.
Okay. Got it.
Okay, don't have anything else? Right. Since there are so many changes and there was some confusion about some of the wording, I will request that you submit an updated EA, an updated catalog to Ms. Stanfield for review before license is submitted. So I make a motion to approve the conditional to regular vocational program license renewal application with the stipulation that the changes requested to the EA and catalog be made and an increase of the surety bond to $26,000. Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Do you accept those stipulations?
Yep.
Great. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hope you feel better.
Thank you very much.
Okay, since it's 4:01, why don't we go ahead and take a break and just like 20 minutes.
For those of you, I will be hanging up and we will call back in at about a little under 1. Thank you.
Please enter your passcode. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the second person to join the meeting.
Hi, this is Terry. Who's on the line, please? Hello?
All right. The Arizona Board of Secondary Education is back in session at 1:25. The next item on the agenda is the conditional to regular vocational program license for commercial divers. Ms. Stanfield?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. At the June meeting in 2016, the board approved the conditional vocational program license for commercial divers international. There were several requirements to make some changes in mission requirements and grievance procedure. There were 8 of them in total. They agreed to the stipulations and they did submit the revisions. They are now seeking renewal from going from conditional to regular. And here representing, you have Richard Phillips, who is the owner, Donald Moore, Director of Education, and Tyler Clark, Administrative Assistant, and the board member lead is Craig.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Gentlemen, can you please state your name for the record?
I'm Richard Phillips, owner, president, Commercial Divers International.
Donald Moore, Director of Education.
Tyler Clark, administrator.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Could you give us an update on how operations are going?
Okay, fair. Well, first off, I guess it's been 14 months, and that flew by. But that being said, we have graduated our first class. It graduated a class of three, graduated in August. Two of the three have already got full-time jobs. One's working, doing a diving job today at the city of Phoenix, one of their wastewater treatment plants. The other one is working, oh yeah. The other one is working up at Lake Pleasant for Maricopa County. And the third one is taking some time off, just wanting to wait before he gets a job. So we were proud about that milestone. We've got two classes currently going. The second class has four students. The third class has nine students. So we are gaining traction, even though the hurdles of, as you guys know, you forgot more about, you know, the struggles of accreditation than what I know today. I would assume. That being said, the shackles that we have on, we are gaining traction. We have 11 students scheduled for the September class. And so, you know, it's once we got awareness out there that, one, there is deep sea diving school in the middle of the desert, things are going good. I mean, everyone would like to sit here and say we got more students, got more and more and more. But the reality is, you know, we're happy that we're able to get this first class done, get them jobs, and now that's our goal for the second and ongoing classes.
Okay. Nice to hear that you have a larger group of enrollments coming in, because I was a little concerned with your financials based on last year's financials, a loss of 131 in net income, and your first quarter this year, you already had a loss of 43, so I was worried that you're not going to do as well as last year with that loss, but sounds like you have more enrollments, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, it takes about 20, it's depending on where their funding source comes from to give you a break-even point, mm-hmm. but to give you a ballpark figure, it's approximately 20 students would be a fair average for our yearly revenue to cover all of our O&E. Now, some of those numbers on the financial statement is, you know, not misleading, but it's the reality is I own an LLC company that owns the property, so I'm my own landlord, basically. I also, another one of my companies owned all the gear that is selling the gear to the school, so I'm the creditor. So, I mean, we don't have loans with anyone.
Sure.
So we are, you know, that helps. And I am able to do cash injections and things like that as needed until we can get through our accreditation process, get through our GI process, because basically of the six schools in this country that do what we do, 60% of them are basically veterans that are going through their program. It just fits the bill for what we do. So we're hoping to get that. We've worked also with here in Arizona at the VA, and we're ready. We're just, I heard someone else speak the thing too. We're just waiting on that 24th month clock, and when that clock hits, we're ready to launch it.
Right. Can you give us an update on how the accreditation?
Well, the accreditation stuff, or like Title IV or accreditation, well, we've hired a company, and I understand the board's position. They don't, you know, you guys obviously are here to protect the student and everything, but you know, we're trying to find the right accreditation. It just seems like a quagmire, basically, but we're leaning towards the COE. We think that is going to be the fit for what we're doing. So we're scheduled September 1st is the sign up for the workshop up in Vegas for 3 days, and we're starting that process. So we're moving forward for that Title IV funding. It's pretty easy to figure out when all of our competitors, 78% of their enrollments are getting federal financial aid of some sort. So,
one tip on that, the whole accrediting thing, is sort of like when you go through the application here, there's a lot of instructions, and it's new to you. When you go through accrediting, it's the same thing. You know, they have their manual that tells you what to do, and if you don't understand how to do something, then seek help. Don't just, like, throw it at the wall and hope it's going to stick.
Right.
I mean, you have to go through and follow all the steps, because a big part of proving administrative capability is that you can follow those instructions. And picking the right accreditor is a very personal thing, because it's, you know, based on what your missions are, the accreditors have their own, you know, things that they're going for. So we wouldn't make a recommendation. Literally something you have to decide what is the best fit for you, but right. You can't pick and choose, and I like this one's this rule, whichever one you pick, you're agreeing you're going to go through all those. So just be patient and be open to the fact that it's something new to you and you're going to read it and not really get what it means. You've got to figure it out.
Well, the position that I'm taking, at least what I had sent an email off to Terry or asked Tyler to here a while back, but the position that I wanted to take is, look, I would like to hire some type of a consultant type person to put us through the accreditation process. If I was going to open up 37 schools, then yeah, let's learn the whole process and do it. But, you know, we wanted to hire someone to get us compliant, maintain compliancy, and to get us through the accreditation process. So I've heard a couple names bounced around, but I don't know what the board's position is. If there's a magic list or, you know, if, you know, things like that. I mean, so that's
how we speak to it. Have you joined APSA?
I have not, no.
It is to push for the organization. The Arizona Private School Association is a very good organization that is very focused on the success of Arizona schools and protection of their students. So a previous client school that was just in here talked about how helpful they were in helping them, you know, adopt the ICRCT. So
for sure.
He's sitting right back there.
All right.
Hopefully, since that was recorded, we don't get in trouble for doing the plug. But
I just said it was bad sitting back there.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing all the revisions like we asked. It's very, very good. We appreciate that. Sometimes schools will come back and revisions aren't done. But I did notice on your attendance policy, you do just a typo. You have any students who has 8 absences with be notified. I'm assuming that's supposed to be will be notified.
Yeah.
That's it. But you changed it. You were very specific. You didn't say, you know, approaching or nearing, so that's great. That's really all I have. Any other questions?
Yes.
I just noticed you might want to look through your documentation for consistency, because in some places you have, like, head of student services, and in other places it refers to as director. So you just want to go through and make sure that whatever it really is, it is.
You know, Leah, that one of mine was or designee, because if you specifically say a position, then you're saying that it's the only position that has the authority to do whatever. So you always want to direct them to who the, you know, not my person's name, my title, who they would go to, but then say or designee. So, some, you know, you're a small organization, so if it's you, but you're going to be out, then you want to say, in my absence, I designate him. So in your grievance policy, that's one place you have it too. So just anywhere where you're specifically saying it's only some one, you know, office that can do it, or one person, just put or designee, and then you're just covered. We literally had a student come in and complain and say, it said I would be notified by whoever, and it was her assistant who did it, literally filed a complaint saying that the school didn't comply with their own policy. So just don't go there. I have a few. Do you have others? So you already answered about the office. Out of curiosity, why were the hours reduced?
The hours were reduced for two reasons. One, we wanted to offer, you know, this larger program that had non-destructive testing in it, you know, because the whole goal is to make sure that we get these guys and gals employable when they get out of the school. So if they got into the diving industry and they decided, hey, look, I thought I wanted to do this, but maybe I don't want to do this, well, there's a lot of NDT work going on in all the pipe, you know, refineries. Every city has NDT work going on in the water districts and things like that. It's just another skill set that they could have fallen back on, that they could do it. However, it costs money with the challenges of getting financing for our students being non-accredited. It just made financial sense that we take that out of the program, and that was 176 hours from ANSI. And so that's how we landed back at 671.
So are you going to at some point then maybe have it as this reduced program, and then also offer one that's combined later on?
Exactly what you're saying on that. In addition to that, what we want to do is we want to offer that diving program, but then we also want to offer diver medical technicians that is very similar to an EMT license that you'll get, things like that. But we will launch that when we have all of the tools in the financial toolbox.
Okay. When you do it, just packaging-wise, if you offer 176-hour module, so that maybe prerequisite is they take your other course, your other program, you can certainly do that. But when you move forward for financing and such like that, like for federal aid, 176 is not going to qualify. But if you put a combined program, might. So just as you're going forward, just look at the big picture to decide how you're going to do it. And you can always sell the 176 as a separate one. That's fine. But if you're looking for getting funding for it, you'd want to have it as a bundle.
Okay.
But that makes sure that the wording is very clear that this program by itself is complete. They can get a job,
right,
or they can take a longer program.
Okay, fair enough.
We're giving them more than the required hours to get a job now. The required hours are 625. That's required. That's the industry standard. So we've gone a little past that now. And I think that, well, later on, most of our competition that offer those courses as an add-on, after they graduate, they come back, and if you want to do NDT, you're going to pay another $1,000, or if you're going to do DMT, you're going to pay another $2,000 or something along that line.
And then, Craig, to touch on what your open question to us too, being this small, very small niche of an industry, we just got through a major accomplishment and a milestone of being licensed. My diving company that I own, has been an association diving contractor general member for almost 20 years, but there's only about 7 schools that are. I don't want to use the word accredited in front of you folks, but what they want to use is the word there's license, or, there's only about 6 or 7 schools that are able to teach this that are recognized, is the word I'd like to use, by the Association of Diving Contractors. We just got that recognition, which is a huge thing.
It was a big audit. They come through, they check everything, maintenance, administration, your dive procedures. I mean, it was a long process, some 800 items that they looked at.
Excellent. Heading in the right direction.
It's not a light switch.
No, it's not.
If it is, it's got a dimmer on it.
Are books refundable?
Books are refundable. It's such a non thing to us. I mean, we just print them, and what we're doing now, we're the only school that's giving tablets to all the students, just because we're doing our own in-house paper reduction act. So every student now gets a tablet that basically has all the material on it, and then there's some stuff in there that, hey, if you lose a tablet, then you're going to have to, I think a new tablet's $280 or something.
So if a student attends 2 days, you give them the tablet and they're gone.
We're not splitting hairs.
I unfortunately didn't make a note of exactly where I saw it. I think that it wasn't clear to me whether book supplies were or weren't refundable. So if you just revisit the wording on that.
We'll look into the book policy.
I was just curious. A couple of schools did this. You use the word volume instead of version when you updated your catalog. Is there a reason why you like that?
I guess that would be me, and I just thought that, volume 1, volume 2, version 1, or version 2, I'll do it.
Or a lot of people will put the year, like version 2017.
I like that. Yeah.
Just makes it easier later to figure out
when.
Yeah.
I'll make note of that.
On page 18 of the catalog, I apparently didn't like how the probation was worded, so I just wrote clean it up. We'll see what happened.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
The proration.
Of the refund policy? Or?
Yeah, it must be. I just put proration, clean up the wording.
Page 14, maybe?
Or did I mean probation?
Page 15. Good.
Yeah,
probation,
maybe I have a typo. Let's see. Oh, probation. Yeah, I have a typo.
Was that?
Probation. Page 18, number 4.
Yeah. Online is it?
Okay. Oh, I know. Yes. Okay, so typo, but I do remember what I meant.
Okay, we'll get
it says academic progress of all students will be monitored at the end of each section, including the end of the program. But then it says they'll be placed on probation for 30 days. And I was just wondering whether it's a section 30 days? Are those lined up?
Not particularly. I mean, I know for this, we kind of weren't completely solid on how the sections and the units were going to be, and moving towards accreditation, we see, you know, we may need to regroup this so that, you know, the accrediting agency or Department of Education will like what we have. So this, I think this should be totally revised. And
it's not wrong. It's just
It's just not clear. And
people just want to know how they're going to be monitored. And so you're going to monitor at the end of each section, which is probably a good breakup point. If that's like a learning unit, that's cool. And then you can put them on 30 days. Well, at the 30-day point, is that a point where you can truly evaluate them to know if it's good? And if it is, that's fine. Just make sure you're at, you know, you can follow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're governed by hours. There's a certain amount of hours. For instance, like you have to have 30 hours of physics and 24 hours of medicine and 44 hours of chamber operations. So each one of those sections is guided by specific hours that are laid out in the ANSI standard.
And they take one at a time?
Well, yes, they do take one at a time. Like the first thing we start with is diving physics, and then we roll into writing the diving medicine. And each one of those has a test at the end of the week.
Are any of these sections so short that you couldn't have the probation period equaling a section?
I have to look at the standard. Some things are only 12 hours. Some things are 24 hours.
Then 30 days may be fine. Just make sure that it's...
We're sectioning our...
Just make sure that you're able to evaluate it at the 30. Because if it's the whole 30 days and there's been no testing, how do you prove it? Just make sure.
Well, we also have this job, what's called job sheets. So there's a specific skill set the student has to perform. And it lays out the guidelines of what you have to do. And then the instructor signs off on whether it was a pass or fail kind of thing.
And then I think somewhere I saw that the student has to give you a copy of their high school diploma or GED.
Yeah.
So do you say that just want to make sure you're allowing homeschool students, that's just a real big thing now.
I mean, so I think we have this in here, like, in anticipation for DOE requirements for Title IV. How do they deal with that? So if you're Title IV,
usually just put if they're a high school graduate or equivalent.
Okay.
For giving proof, you could just say that they provide proof that they are a high school graduate or the equivalent. Because it might be, if you say specifically diploma, then you can't accept the transcript. If you say transcript, you can't accept the diploma. So just make sure your own wording doesn't trip you up.
Clearly says proof. Okay.
That's all I have.
Anything else?
Did you guys say you were going for you're interested in Title IV? Is that what I understand?
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely are once the calendar gets there. But I understand that what I'm really interested in is finding someone that can help us take us through that process.
And it's two separate processes. Getting accredited is one thing, and getting Title IV is another. But if you know your goal is Title IV, you do want to keep an eye on both of them, so you don't have to revise something a second time. So we often actually make comments to people about watching the wording so you're not having to revise it later.
And we appreciate it.
And so my comment was really about your sexual harassment policy. You may want to start looking at other institutions or guidance on Title IX and what that would need to include. I did also do the GPA thing. And then there, I saw something as a director of education, but I thought I read that there was two employees. So you have a director of education and a director of student services, and that's it? Didn't I see that there was only on the sheet two? Or am I misremembering?
The list of
two administrators?
I don't think they got a flow sheet.
So on here is two administrators, but you actually,
the vice president resigned.
So that administrators don't include the actual staff, or just Terry? Do you know?
Okay, she's looking at the application.
We have six full-time employees right now.
Because I just always curious with that number.
And you're looking at the original, not the renewal.
I may be looking at something from you.
I think you're.
Says three and two.
Oh, that's the enrollment data
Three faculty, two administrators.
I was
saying it's six now.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Anything else? All right, I'll make a motion to approve the conditional to regular vocational program license renewal application for Commercial Divers International with the stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond and to continue to submit quarterly reporting.
That was my question.
Oh.
Do you let them on quarterly?
I would like. Well, can you do it through the end of the year, or does it have to be for another entire year? Because
typically,
we'd like to see how the financial performance goes after this good
year.
Favorable enrollments they're doing right now.
Typically, on the renewal, you'll do it, and it'll be before you quarterly until you decide to take them off.
You can let them call in if you want to have them come up and do a pre-edit.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I would like quarter reporting, and of course, they don't have to show up. They can call in, right?
It makes a, to be honest, and when it's financial, it's really, you see how hard it is when you're on the
I'm hard of hearing. If you want me here, I'm coming.
It's really hard when it's financial.
You're just not out of the woods yet, so I would like to do the quarterly reporting still.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
That was Dick the second.
Rock, paper, scissors?
I heard him first, maybe this year's do you agree to the stipulations?
Absolutely.
All right. We have a motion, a second, and agreement to stipulations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Congratulations.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for your patience. Additional curriculum location program license renewal for Heart Rhythm Academy.
I guess I'm prepared to move that board. At the June 2016 meeting, the board approved the conditional location program license for Heart Rhythm Academy. The stipulation that we maintain the $15,000 surety bond with several conditions will be required in the business plan, the catalog, and the grievance procedure. Heart Rhythm Academy is now seeking renewal to go from traditional to drag dealer. Mr. Nash is not here. It is representing the applicant who is Richard Kendrick. And your board member is left.
Thank you for being here. Can you state your name for the record?
Yeah, Richard Kendrick.
Okay, so I'm going to, Craig, if you don't mind, leave the financials to you. But I do have some questions. As you're going through the placement rates that we have, it says that you place six students, but there's only five graduates. So I was curious as to how that works, because you can't really have a placement percentage higher than 100.
I completely agree. I saw that. 150%.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she made a clinical error, honestly. And we have 100% job in the
So of the five have been placed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that was on the map. The next one is on the enrollment agreement for cardiac device. The tuition total is magic math, and the total's not correct.
I think what she did is she cut and pasted two of them and did an update. So, and also, like, not to pick on you, but your district ability to math is, like, basic.
Oh, yeah. I'll fix that.
One thing that I would just caution everyone when they're writing policy is to make sure that you only say something one time. There's parts like underneath your cancellation and refund policy where you repeat. And what tends to happen, you will find you forget to update it in the other place, and so students are, and they will see the difference. So I would probably go through that whole section and try and clean it up and make sure that you only state.
And to tag on that, part of it in particular was the fees. It's really hard to follow whether the fee is refundable or not refundable. It's just not tied down well.
On page 5 of 5, you have a random sentence in here under number 3. It just says, while enrolled in the school period. And I think that's just a good
one. Great.
That was page 3?
That was page 5 of 5. I think that appears on everyone. I would just check them all because I think she did do a copy paste and stuff like this. So. I think this is another thing, and Terry, I'm just so when I read on here, there's 2 faculty members and 2 administrators. Do faculty count as administrators in that count or no? You know what I'm talking about?
At the time of current administrator, was on both. He was the director of operations and he was the device instructor.
Okay.
And he's no longer, so he's just now just the device instructor.
You list the board of directors on page 7, but they're not. I just thought it was interesting because you listed the other people. I thought there's only, like, if I remember correctly, there's only one place that you ever mentioned that, so I didn't know if you.
I think she was still trying to figure out who's going to be the directors at that stage, and so it's time to address that.
Okay. Is the board director staying at the advisory committee? I saw on page 4 talks about an advisory committee. It sounds like it's going to be set up, and then it makes it obvious that you like have this conference.
Yeah, there would be something.
On page 8, you have a non-discrimination policy. You might want to check what should be included in that, because I think there's a couple categories that are missing. On page 11, under academic policy, the attendance requirements, you talk about being on probation, but it doesn't, unless I missed it, I don't see how long that probation period lasts. And then at the bottom of that, under makeup work, it says there's a sentence that says students are expected to make up work missed due to absences, tardiness, and clinical training. The absence isn't the tardiness I get, but isn't the clinical training part of your program? So, why would that be included there? Wouldn't it be you need to make up clinical training if you're absent, but it wouldn't be in that list? It doesn't make sense, right? Absence is, or tardiness from coursework or clinical training, but I don't know why clinical training is in there. Yeah, they're going to either be absent from it or whatever, but they're not going to, it's not equivalent. On page 12, at the bottom, I was curious, in the sentence that says failure of 3 exams may be grounds for dismissal. Is that in one, is that across the program, or is that in... in one, page 12, is that for the duration of the program? I don't know how your learning modules necessarily work, but I don't know if that's like, if you have individual courses that are part of that, or is that... Okay. Across the duration? So you may want to... On page 14, drug usage at any point in the program and or consumption of alcohol on school premises will result in disciplinary action. And so I kind of chuckled and thought, well, if I drink off campus and go to campus, I don't break that policy. You might want to think about intoxication instead. That allows for someone not to do that. I think you also referred to a program director, and I don't think think I saw anywhere where that person was. So I think you just want to check, is that title accurate?
Yes, we'll see you in record college.
And we're appropriate for more than that.
On page 16, I find this interesting, and I'm not sure if anyone's ever seen this, but you talk about a minimum cash reserve, and you give the students the number of the cash reserve. I thought that was... It's under teach-out plan. I thought that was
interesting. Yeah, that student teach-out plan.
Yeah, I thought it was odd,
but
I thought you wanted to.
I was, well, I'm pretty sure that number changes, so then maybe it's not following their policy. Yes. I would not put the number in.
Unless you put an as of date.
Yeah. This was just a curiosity question on page 17. You list holidays, and you have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and then you have a winter break for 2 weeks, and I wondered if those crossed over. You know what I mean? Like, I would think those, I guess I would think that, but I was
curious. Yeah, well. I would say typically that would be the case, but we had one student where she was by all of them, and she would have gone on the break, and she was more like, or they have something that I planned, and then other parts of the country, so it's like a program, so they actually kind of went on to it, and said, well, one was in the twice industry of that program, so she just went straight through, and everyone else took the time off when they were in the device clinic.
But in the typical, outside of her, in the typical 2 week break is New Year's.
Yes.
That's in there, yes. Right? Do you publish what those are in advance, or you just list it like this? Like, how, if I was a student and I was planning my life, how would I know what those dates are? Where would I see that?
Well, it would obviously vary from year to year, depending on when the holiday started. So
correct.
It would be, should be in the course of the time.
I think the Thanksgiving break is pretty understandable with the winter one that I have. That's all I have.
Well, thank you for your question.
EA, on page 3. Oh, this is probably what you talked about, the difference of wording. So make sure you make it clear about the fees applicable, consistently worded. On page 3, 2B, it says prior to 50% lab refunds, but it's actually 350%, because you actually have to make a refund. And then your EA refund policy is not worded the same as it is in your catalog, and they should be the same. Yeah, so change one, we would just copy and paste the others, they're exactly the same. In particular, the equipment reference is missing, but there were other inconsistencies too, literally just whole sentences just worded completely different. They may mean the same in the end, but I spend all this time trying to figure out why the hell is it that what do we mean by this? EA on page 4. A leave of absence is a break in the enrollment. And for some reason, we have that there's a refund for a leave of absence. It says specifically issued a refund.
I can actually write this as that person did return from a leave of absence.
Okay, so it's probably just poor wording. And it should be if they did return from a leave of absence, we issued a refund if applicable or according to the refund policy. But I think she is saying if they don't return from leave of absence, they will be issued a refund. They may not. And so, catalog on page 15. Last time we asked you to make some changes, and thank you, you did. But it still is clunky. You say that training interruption dismissal, they are not dismissed for not learning. But they will be dismissed if they're less than 80%. Pretty sure they're not learning if they're not.
Yeah, what page is this?
Yes, page 15. So it's better than last time you came for us, but it's still not accurate. Because if they fail.
Training interruptions.
Yeah, if they're not doing well, they are in fact going to be dismissed without learning.
And it could be that you're trying to say, we'll give you a lot of chances or whatever, but that is a conflict. We're not going to dismiss you because we will dismiss you because of these. And then I couldn't quite follow the breakdown of the hours of classroom, online, and externship. Normally schools give us like a just very clear that it's this many hours of classroom, this many online, this many externship. If the online can be done either way, then it says either these hours can be done either way. And I went through yours, I didn't get the clear picture of exactly what you have each category.
Yeah, so I'll fix it, but it's basically it's 50% in the classroom, 50%.
That should be pretty easy.
Can you give us an update on how operations are going from an enrollment perspective?
Yeah. So this spring session, we had two students. They're already placed in the position, so had success there. As for, we have a new company exclusive contract with the new company called Beyond Reps that will help facilitate some of our enrollments, which is dedicated specifically to remote monitoring online. But in order to understand that stuff, you still need to do the clinic-based programs. So they go through the whole program in entirety, and then they pretty much have a kind of like feeder school into that program. So that's our major plan on increasing our enrollments, in addition to the word of mouth of people finding us online.
Okay. So your financials are a little concerned. How viable is the solvent is the company until you get these enrollments up to where they need to be?
Yeah, so Mr. Nash, he owns several businesses, so if you ever needed it, you should have money to do that at any time. For the most part, in order to break even, you just need 29 students to do one whole session with one instructor, because our overhead is very minimal. The part that you're most probably most concerned with is in the curriculum development. That was our highest expenditure.
Yeah, that's what I noticed.
Yeah, and so developing the program online, putting the slides, creating the quizzes, and all that type of stuff, that was really our highest overhead, and now we have no more overhead going forward, with the exception of instructor costs and insurance. Our rent is very minimal. So we share an office with our same office, and so we just divided up the expense by square footage, so it's like $600.
And on your current liabilities that due to CBMC, is that the curriculum development? Set Solutions, I'm sorry.
Set Solutions is the main kind of topic. And CBMC is another one of the
I am. I do have a question. Because of the financials, is it appropriate to look for quarterly monitoring on the financials, or is that something the board would be interested in doing? Will it change that much in quarter?
It's really not going to change much.
No, it won't, depending on how quickly they get that agreement going.
All right, then I'd like to make a motion to approve the conditional to regular vocational program license renewal application with a stipulation to maintain the $15,000 surety bond to make the changes that were discussed today. And if losses occur in the second year, that you'll appear before the finance committee.
Second.
Well, that was a tie.
Sure, I lose.
Jacob had that one. Left, right. Do you agree to stipulation? So we have a motion second, and there's stipulation. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Welcome to second. And the next one on the agenda. War to win. Thank you.
question for the past 2 years. Last year, they intended to locate a physical facility at the San Carlos Apache Nation. Those discussions have ended, and since then, back in May, there's been discussions with the Gila River Indian community. At this point in time, P.O. Box is used. We did receive a notice of cancellation for the certificate of liability. I sent it to you, I think, yesterday, that it had been reinstated again. It's at a post office box. So I maybe, when you're ready to hear from Dr. Mason, he can explain the status of the location. They also intend to seek accreditation with HLC. They intend to submit the pre-application to HLC in late 2017. Is that still about the same? Dr. Mason has attended the HLC only workshop in April. Basically, staff's major concerns, and I'm sure you have found issues with the finances and EA catalog, but are they actually here in Arizona? I guess is my question, other than a PO box. I do believe you live in California, and there's not a physical location. Has that changed yet?
Is that a residence, an office, or a box? What is it?
It's basically a 600 square foot space which is provided to us as well as the outside facility. It's really not a photograph that can change every time.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. This is a building.
So
why don't you use that address? If it's a physical place, why aren't you using that
address
instead of a
PO
box?
Well, the insurance has, for physical facilities, it's in the Black Track Road.
It says it's for a PO box.
Yes, like we have a PO box as well in South Tacoma because we're going to have a river community. The river community in South Tacoma is in the PO box. That's why we put it there. The insured facility, like we said, the policy is the Black Track Road and the PO box. They're both two addresses.
So I sort of like, when we do licenses, we're licensing the facility, at least in my experience, you have a campus, you submit the campus information, Arizona Private Post Secondary, and get approval for that campus.
Yeah.
How do we use a PO box?
Well, that's, I don't think seen a PO box.
Because you have to license the...
Yeah, how do you...
I push out the policy of the election.
So got it.
So does it, what address is it?
I remember it saying P.O. Box.
On the,
I can see my
I have a copy here, sure, but we can change it.
Well, what it is,
Black Jack
at
Road.
The yeah. building.
Yeah.
No, it has a P.O. Box. Is that a copy?
That's what I said.
Yeah, this is the one we're getting out of it. P.O. Box is in the facility.
That's right. The policy has closed.
Okay, well, it would say that on this, so that tells me there is a facility. At that facility that's up there, is it empty? Is that where student records and the administrative files are? Who's there? Who's sitting in that seat?
Well, I go there when I have reservations.
But can't students sign? I mean, when I read through this, don't students sign up to be students and go to class there?
Oh, we have a combination program, so that.
But if you live in California, and on here there's one administrator, so here's my huge concern, and it's outside of the other things is. I don't know how in the world you have administrative capacity to run this program when you say you have, you know, all these students and there's only one administrator. You have you're saying on here you have 124 students with one administrator. Having been part of institutions that are accredited by regional accreditors, I can tell you that is going to be a serious
you're still in with HLC, but I also understand that you're considering an employed person for the program that you're running.
You're going to need a faculty. Is in charge of that. You're going to need people who are helping these students, because another question I had is you're very busy according to your resume. So where do you have the time then to help register students, make sure, you know, do all of the paperwork to make sure that any finances documentation is correct? I mean, having been new to the board, I'm scared when I see this.
We have to have paid faculty on board for HLC. I don't see how HLC can even accept a free app.
I'm going to be honest with you.
There's no way.
I'm an accreditation person. There's no way. Criterion 5 is all about resources, and you don't have a facility that we even list half the time. You don't have any payments coming in, financial resources. You just don't. You're not going to meet the criterion.
So that's why we're looking to find the kind of community that would support what we're doing in person. Should I give you an update?
Yes, please.
Yeah. If my name is Gregory Dalvey, I wrote a letter of the 10th of August 2017 to supplement the letter of 2017 to clarify some questions. So the physical address continues to be the same since the 31st of August 2016. This is what the board. Thank you. insurance of the
focused on the physical address. It's the fact that you have no one here all the time who is administering this program. You live in California and you're the sole administrator. So aren't you a California? I mean,
why? Yeah. Why don't you go to California here?
Because the school has a physical location in Arizona. Number five. That's why.
But there's no administrators there. There's no working.
Well, I'm looking for administration place.
How many students do you have referred to? We have enrolled
in this. We just had a discussion with them. And at the moment, we're discussing the ability to try to get the position drawn with the way that the students are going to be
Is there a particular tribal community that the majority of your students are from?
We have staff in the Salt River community, but they're all from different tribes. And one of the reasons to move from Salt River is we didn't have tribal members of Salt River enrolled in the programs. Mm-hmm. So we have been from different tribes. And then the Salt River tribe was still, the council didn't want to provide us rooms because we're at Scottsdale Community College. They didn't see the need for a graduate program. So then we decided to try with St. Carl's Apache Nation because of discussions with the former chief of the tribe, who was coming down for business. And they had a change of the council members, and so after spending a long time waiting, decided that I thought, wait, the last time in February when we had a meeting, the urgency of moving forward was expressed to me. Therefore, I approached the governor of the river and spoke with them twice, and now with the education department. And so that's, it has an advantage be back in the Phoenix area because it's more like residential students enrolled. There are residential students graduated, so basically all our students who are active are either a couple that have been providing thesis, but the rest are combination students.
You may or may not know this question, but what is the percentage of students that are part of these tribes that have baccalaureate degrees that would be eligible? Because you can't admit students into a graduate program that don't have bachelor's degrees.
Yes,
so
we have basically at the run of the river, 5% of 13,000 enrolled members have a bachelor's degree. So that's from the river. But the concept of the graduate school is that there are 500 tribes in the United States, and being a associated to a tribe who's willing to partner with us will make it more attractive for students from different tribes to join.
But most of your students right now aren't even from tribes, are they? I mean, I got the picture that they were international students.
They're about the most international. We have some from tribes, but about 25% of our students are indigenous from tribes around the world. And so, as I mentioned in the February meeting, another mission of it is to try to populate biotics, the Greek program around the world, so that each country can establish its own degree program in biotics by offering multiple and PhD programs in biotics. And we have but we do have the facility in Arizona that we can meet there. That, for example, September when we had our conference, we had a conference room in the education department in Miller River is where we'll be having the conference, but our registered location at the university is still in Black Cap Road because we haven't signed a paper to move it. And we won't until we're sure of that.
But if your combination in your holding classes, are they on the
Are there scheduled classes at the Blackjack facility? Not regular scheduled classes, but
just in weeks.
Seminars are not intended to be able to train because it's not intended. We have 20 hours of classes online for group style every week. And so that's been more convenient for people. Even for students in Arizona. So when we come and bring in some people from other countries, the fact that we meet together, then it's an occasion for people to get together.
So did I just understand you correctly that your students go to school through Skype?
The online program is through Skype.
So one of the things I think based on experience you're going to have to demonstrate is the academic work that's occurring. How do you do that? So usually when students are online, they're going through an LMS and you can see all of the academic activity that's happening in the classroom versus Skype. How are you going to demonstrate that to HLC?
So we demonstrate that in the class, I demonstrate my discussion and dialogue. We do have the chat record from this guy, so when they write the comments, everyone can see what each other's writing.
So it does a transcript of all the comments?
Of all the written comments. The oral comments are not transcribed. So there's no oral record. If I need to enter what I guess it can be recorded.
You might want to think about it. Mm-hmm. That was one of the questions that I couldn't even get past the first page because I didn't understand. How does your program work? How long are the courses? What's your class size? What does all of that look like? How does instruction occur? Who's instructing you? I mean, faculty for 120 students, who's
most
doing what?
Most of the classes maximum would be 25 to 30 students at one time. And also, as you said, about 70% of our students already have a PhD at 15 different universities. So we're trying to learn specific topics in bioethics and public health, and so they can write assignments, they can write reports.
So how do they turn those in? Where does that occur? How do they turn in assignments?
I don't know. And then, the reason I haven't used, when I went to different HLC meetings, you can see the whole range of vendors providing electronic services, but with our budget at the moment, we cannot afford to use the proprietary software.
You're in a catch-22. I mean, you're in a huge catch-22. If you don't have these it's pretty much a basic resource to offer online programs is an LMS, which tracks, you know, all the information and can demonstrate to HLC that there's quality. I mean, I'm not sure how your assessment practices are occurring, but if you don't have that, they're not going to be able to approve you because you don't meet the criterion. So I think some of these things are just basic things that you absolutely have to have.
So Dr. Macer, you obviously have a deep passion for public health medicine.
Public health
medicine. That's your background.
My background is just bioethics, medicine, environment.
And so we're trying to catch up to get a better feel for operationally how the school rolls out. So you had 124, thank you, Greg, 124 students, and they attended various classes. Some participated in a Skype environment, and others came to a classroom.
Some came to a classroom, and then we have intensive conferences. So in the program, we've listed all the programs they need to attend at least three intensive conferences somewhere in the world.
Okay.
And so we have MOUs with over 30 universities around the world.
Okay.
And so we in-kind support, we say, members of the faculty or universities that have MOUs will provide facilities, either travel for the academics to come to the meeting.
Yeah.
And that's easier, for example, to have. For example, only three times a year in Bangkok, I had an office in Thailand, so I still have an office there, a resource center there. We have meetings in London at least once a year. We have five or six of our faculty in the UK, and so in the same way in Japan. So we do this in different countries. So they can attend. We also have several faculty and several students who cannot enter the United States because they cannot get visas from the wrong countries or they have the wrong background. So providing the service to sort of the idea of a global forum.
So based on that, what would you guesstimate the amount of education out of this program, pick either one of the ones that you put before the board here, would actually be executed in person in Arizona?
Personally, in Arizona, it depends on the students. There are many of the Native American students, 95% was in Arizona. And when we, if we have good enrollment from Hill River, most of their program will be run in Arizona.
But the motivation to be on the reservation is because obviously your university is about educating those from sovereign nations, and the Native American tribes will have their own nations.
Yes.
That would be a draw for others to come into the program.
Well, I think the idea of what I write in the catalog about a decolonized educational system. So when I was working at UNESCO, I worked with universities in Africa and Asia who were establishing a sort of non-European centered university model with different forms of knowledge. I mean, not the traditional medicine, but traditional environmental knowledge. So the idea was to form something that could offer that. And I joined with an American department who left, whose dream was to establish a medical school. And he's left the program. We had discussions in February meeting about trying to eliminate the connection of the medical school from the catalog, but it's still one of the dreams of the program is that we have to run for several years as master's students. We have to get accreditation from HLC, and then we have to correspond with LCME for the American Medical Association School. And that's still, we have a lot of hurdles to get through. Now, we had hoped with the Salt River that they would be a good partner, but soon after we went there, their head of education went to Salt River. And this mobility of people moving around is one of the challenges. So
I can just, like a doctor has mentioned to you, that there is a problem on the surface. We see that you have a large amount of students, no full-time administration on site. Obviously, you have a teacher, a lecturer of some sort coming in. And how often do the students say, let's just say that you're able to stay in a 600-foot classroom on Blackjack Road, which that'll be a bet on Blackjack Road, you really need to go there, in your four-wheel pickup truck, I recommend. Shotgun back. if you were able to pull off, you were able to do this, these classes, would students be coming there every day for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a semester? Would they have any need for any other services, counseling, financial aid, academic counseling of any kind? I mean, paint the picture for us. What would a student experience if they were, I'm not even going to talk about the student that lives in Tibet that is never going to show up here, but just the students that are living in Arizona.